Grace, mercy,
and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All three readings today from our Old Testament, our epistle, and our gospel remind us of some great truths that Christians live and die for in the 21st century today. First, it's Father Abraham and Mother Sarah. By faith, we are their children. Second, since we have been justified by faith, and faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by His blood. Even while we were yet sinners and enemies of God, that's when Christ died for you, for us. That's love. Third, and what I really want to talk about today in our gospel reading, it gives us some basics for Lent, the season of Lent, and for life. And that these are things that everyone needs to know. And the question is, do you know them? And does your family and your friends know these things? Very important. These things, these questions we'll think about today. Do you know the truth of who Jesus is? Do you know why He came? And do you know what it means to live as a Christian in the 21st century? Jesus didn't have to beat around the bush to reveal who He was. Those whom He called to follow Him during His three-year ministry, for them, He didn't wear a disguise, a la Batman or Superman. He didn't live in a cave. Jesus let His words and His works speak for themselves. But it takes time to get to know someone and to develop a real opinion about someone. For example, if you just met Pastor Roberts yesterday, and then maybe 2 or 3 months from now that you discovered that I rob cars for a living, what would you say about me? You'd say, well, he says he's a pastor, but really, he's a robber, right? Don't worry, your cars are safe for now. So when Jesus asked His disciples, who do people say that I am? You know, He wasn't asking them if everyone knew His name and His occupation. He was inquiring about the truth of His real self and His relationship with the Old Testament. Such was reflected and understood, I think, by the disciples and the answers that they gave. Some say John the Baptist. He's an Old Testament type. Others say Elijah, although he lived a long time ago, but maybe Elijah's back. Others say one of the prophets. Well, then Jesus got personal, didn't he? But who do you say that I am? Peter answered in the Greek, Suai ha Christos. You are the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah, the deliverer. It almost seems here that in order to really know who Jesus is, you had to be really close to Jesus. And the closer you were to Jesus, the better that you knew Him. Peter being the closest, perhaps, he knew that He is the Christ. But in reality, and what Jesus even tells him in a different gospel, it's not those who are closest to Jesus in this lifetime that know who He really is. It's whoever God chooses to reveal this truth. That's who know. In other words, it's not just time with Jesus that we need to develop a proper opinion about Him. But we need the Spirit of God poured out into our hearts to really truly understand who Jesus is, to know Him aright. For me to ask you, do you know who Jesus is not so that you can feel qualified to appear on Jeopardy or answer a game of Trivia Pursuit or give opinions about Jesus that you think He's like and that you think you know Him. He's a good healer. He's a good teacher. He's just a man. He's not a God. Or He is a God. No, He's a fairy tale. No, He's a liar. No, He's a lunatic. No, He's the Son of God. all opinions. It's to question whether the Spirit really is in you. That's the question. When I ask, do you really know who Jesus is? It's to question whether or not the Spirit of God has been poured out into your heart. And whether you've welcomed the truth of Jesus into your heart. So that you can answer with Peter, you are the Christ. You are the one that the Old Testament, that Abraham and Sarah were looking forward to. We've had time to get to know you by your word and your works. You are the Christ. Then did you note how Jesus strictly charged them? Don't tell anyone about this. Doesn't that seem contrary to whom we think Jesus really is and the kind of message that he was promoting? Don't you think he wants people to go tell others that he's the Christ? Does God just want to keep this a secret? I think this teaches us something to remember in our works of telling the truth about Jesus, of evangelism and mission. It's not just our opinions shared that matter. It's what God is doing in and through Jesus and his Spirit, working faith directly in Jesus where and when he wills. In other words, God again is teaching us, not by your works is this faith going to spread to the ends of the earth. It's only going to be through God's Spirit working faith in the gospel that is confessed about who Jesus is through his church, broken as we are, that this faith will spread to the ends of the earth. For God is here in the man Jesus Christ. It's not just a message that we proclaim. God in Christ Jesus is actually here on earth. He was for the disciples right then and there. And because of that truth, the faith will spread to the ends of the earth. Not our opinion, but the truth of who God is and what he has done. Secondly, then, do you know why he came? Why did he come to earth? For what reason? What purpose? Where is he going? Our text tells us that Jesus told his disciples ahead of time about the upcoming cross and open tomb. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day rise again. And he said this plainly. No parable, no puzzle, no secret decoder ring needed. Jesus told his close disciples plainly about the things to come. This is why the Christ has come. If we recognize this in Lent, then we recognize the cross and what Jesus is doing on the cross for us. This is our life, to follow Jesus to the cross. And to go and come on Good Friday, remember what he did for us on the cross. This is the reason why he came. Jesus came as the Christ, the Messiah, because of the problem of sin and evil, which needs an answer, of which he will personally answer with himself and his endurance in this life. Think of it this way. If all of life was just us waiting for ISIS to come take us away, what would be the point in that? God just gave you a little time to have some good food and some friends and some family, and then he's going to come just take it away? Though perhaps that's what our sins deserve because of how unfaithful we have been to God's truth in our whole life, and daily we sin. God says, no. I send someone to suffer, to die for you. You get to go free, sinners, as if you'd never sinned, because Jesus willingly went there to die for you. We are justified by his blood, even while we were yet sinners, as it said in the book of Romans today, right? That's why when Peter got up to rebuke Jesus for all his talk about suffering and dying, Jesus had to turn to Peter and rebuke Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. For you do not have the things of God on your mind, but you have the things of man." Satan doesn't want Jesus to go to the cross, because then he loses his claim on us. But the cross is God's will. It's his unchangeable choice. It's his way to show his love for us, lost and condemned sinners though we are. That's why Jesus came. That and to rise. To show our future by God's grace and his mercy. To show his power over sin and the grave. And that's what leads us to our last question. Do you know what it means to live as a Christian in the 21st century? Jesus taught his disciples, whom he called, to deny themselves and take up his cross and follow him. Now, yes, that's why pastors leave families and go off to seminary and study and become pastors. But it's also the reason that you should get up every morning. What cross will you pick up today or tomorrow? Is it the cross of being a student in school, having to go to school every day, sit before other teachers and listen and study and do homework, hand it in, suffer some rejections from friends, and maybe, "Oh, I didn't do so good here," and learn this and that, to have to endure all of that? That might be your cross right now. Jesus says, "Endure it faithfully for my sake." Do it not just for your sake. Deny yourself. Do it for my sake. Do it for the gospel's sake, that you can help others in this world someday with your knowledge, with your service, your skills. Do it for my sake and the gospel's sake. Don't do it as if serving men. Do it for Christ if you don't like men. Do you have the cross of being a parent? Yeah, I know. It's a cross. But what is it for? Don't do it for your sake. Do it for your children's sake. Do it for Christ's sake. Endure the rejection. Endure the sin of your children. Endure the wrong things they did. Forgive them. Show them the right way. Discipline them. Endure that cross. Do it for Christ's sake. Serve faithfully. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Are you a grandparent? Same thing. Are you a worker? You got a terrible boss, but a pretty decent company. Whatever. Endure patiently. Serve faithfully. It may be hard, but God calls us to endure such things. Christ endured many things here on earth for us. May we have the faith to trust his word that says, "Endure, take up cross, follow me." Whatever you do, don't do it for your sake. Do it all for Christ's sake, enduring all things, even rejection, because of his name. And learn to follow Christ in his ways. Deny on the one hand your desire to sin and to do all those things for your sake and your glory. Deny on the other your thoughts that God won't forgive you when you fail. He knows your condition. Following in the shadow of his cross means always remembering who he is, Savior, and why he came. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life in this world will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." In other words, live in the shadow of Jesus' cross in the 21st century. Remember who Jesus is, the Christ. Remember why he came, the cross and the open tomb. And suffer all things for his name's sake.
knowing that he rose already, and you will rise. Remember that he lost his life to save yours. Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.